because I can't stand close. I got to get in here with all the people. It's kind of the way we roll. Let's look at this. This morning, we track into the entire story that's going to make a shift. Because up until this point, what's been happening is Peter's been talking a lot, and today he's going to do something. Hooray! Acts chapter 3, if you can find it. This is one of my favorite phrases in all of the book of Acts right here. It's the gate called beautiful. And so by the end of today, what I'd love for you to do is know what that is. And then in your small groups today, you're going to have to decide, is the gate called beautiful, number one, a paradox, which means two things that are equally true and yet appear in contradiction? Is the gate called beautiful a paradox? Number two, is it ironic? So is it a twist of phrase that it actually isn't beautiful? Or is it three? I can't remember because I'm getting old. There's a third thing there, and I wrote a clever little question for it. So in your small groups, you will figure it out for yourself. Okay? I'm very thrilled about that. Here we go. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Here's what I don't know. In all of the questions that I've been asking you and that you've been giving me feedback, I don't know much about you guys personally yet. And so what I'd love to do is get you talking. I imagine you have done it in your groups a little bit, but I'd very, very much like to hear you guys process what church means. When you hear the word church, what is that? So what are some of the do's or don'ts of your church? What are some of the rules that your church requires? Is there funny hats and a lack of bacon? That's just a Jewish joke. Don't worry about it. What is the content like? Is it relevant? Is it Charlie Brown's mom, which you all know what she sounds like? Wah, wah, wah. Very nice. Is that how church is? Or how are the people and how are the people? Okay. Are they old, awesome, etc.? If church is not regular for you, I'd love to know what you think church is. Here's why. Because at 3 in the afternoon, Peter and John were going to church. Now, it's 9:30 here, and we'll do this again close to 8 o'clock tonight. And so there's something happening that maybe we don't quite yet know. Last night was the very first sermon ever. Tonight is the second sermon of church, as you and I think about it. And so I'd like you guys to talk about it and tell me a little bit what church means. Ready? Go. All right, give me a little bit more about you guys. Someone tell me a little bit about the do's and the don'ts. At your particular church or your perception of church, what's some of the do and the don't from this section? Good, okay, abrupt. What about from this section, some of the do's and the don'ts of church? Okay, there are rules there. Can you give us one? Maybe it's not written down, but everybody knows it. There are certain things one ought not say at church. We won't say them here. Good. Everybody agrees.
Help other people out.
Okay, so there is a perception rule of to help other people out. My church that I go to in Bloomington, not Minnesota, for all of you checking in, not Illinois, for all of you checking in, Indiana. Oh, holla back from those Hoosiers. Here's what, one of the reasons that my family chose our church, I see that Purdue sweatshirt. One of the reasons that our family chose the church that we chose is exactly that. We feel like the way that our church helps our community and our world is unique. One of the reasons we chose the church we go to, like where my family shows up every Sunday, is because of the way that they help the world. And we love being a part of that. Okay, someone go down to the content. How many of you are kind of like, when I go to my church, Josh, no offense, but it's kind of like Charlie Brown's mama. Anybody else got a hand up there? No, a couple of us? Fair enough. Who says it's relevant? Like when I go to church, man, I hear things that matter to me. Okay, good, I like that. Who's got a better thing to say about the message or the content of their church? I don't know you too well yet, so if you don't talk, I don't learn you very well yet. Okay. Sometimes in church, it feels repetitive. Excellent, I appreciate that. Anybody else agree? I hear the same thing. Okay, fair enough. Someone else over here, the message, the content of church? Okay, fair enough. Tell me about the people at church. What kind of people have you experienced? Old, awesome, etc.
I think the church is like not just your church, but the church.
But I'm asking about your church.
It's the people that kind of, you read these verses, but you don't necessarily understand them yourself. And they'll kind of, especially the priest in the homily, will explain the church's interpretation.
Okay. Okay, I got it. So at church, some of the people that you're describing are wiser, and they're helping explain. I like that. So they teach in Declan's church. Yes. Say the last part. Okay, some people have their nose trapped up, is what she said. Well, she said stuck up, but I was just giving you the visual. How many of you, like, when you look around your church, you're like, wait a minute, I don't quite fit in with some of these people. Has that been some of your experiences? Fair enough. Okay, deep corner. Yes. There's a lot of elderly. Spoiler alert, that's you if you stay alive. Okay.
A lot of the people at my church are very young, so like middle school and high school.
And here's the flip of it. Yeah, what does that mean?
So a lot of the music is very like appealing to like our generation or our school or our kids who go to our church.
I appreciate that.
Getting the message is a lot easier when we have people who actually understand the way that young adults think.
Kind of like what we just did, right?
Yeah.
How many of you have a church music experience like we just did, really similar to this? How many of you are the exact opposite? Yeah, man, look around, y'all. Okay, Lou.
You have somebody up there.
Oh, I know. They raise like crazy people, and I have been warned that I need to look up every now and then. I like that kid. All right, Rose, shout it out. What's church like?
Awesome.
Okay, awesome. Thanks. Thank you. I agree. I think because you're there, it's pretty awesome. All right, big ending. Yes. Yep. You with the Expos hat on. Old school. Yeah. Can he pronounce Giannis Antetokounmpo? Okay, so he's better than me. He's a better pastor than I. Very good. Okay, big ending. Yes, sir. Okay, a lot of young families. What does that mean? What does that imply? Yeah, like there's new people rolling in. I like that. Yeah, all right. So here's the point of all this. Whenever I read this chunk of scripture, verse 1 through 3, what I need you guys to know is that there's a lot of things happening. Like there's a lot of undercurrent. And here's the aha about church. The book of Acts is all about the start of church. And so let's read this little bit because we all know that our experiences are unique. And so when we read the scripture, there's a tension. Tension number one is there's undercurrent, there's backstory, there's things happening. And so there's this one thing, remember 3 p.m? Like people would go to church whenever this book was written every day, sometimes 3 times a day, 9, 12, and 3 o'clock. That's because they were coming from a Jewish tradition. And so even though they were going to church, it was very set in the traditional patterns that their whole history and their culture would know. And so 3 p.m. is kind of a weird time for us, but for them, completely normal. Here's the next thing. They're getting ready to meet a lame man. Let's read it together, and then I'll walk through those. The man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into church. When he sees Peter and John about to enter, he asks them for money. Here it is. What you guys may not know is that the lame man is not allowed into church. I've got a friend named John who passes out programs with his dog that helps him get around, and he's in a motorized wheelchair at our church. He would like some of the traditions that are happening here would not be good in our day and age. Here's another one. The gate called Beautiful. Did you know that in this particular church, the temple, there was space where only the women could go, only the people who were not Jewish, that was most of us, and then places where only the men who were Jews could go. Is it ironic that the gate called Beautiful separates those people out? And the man who was there to beg for money. There was a season before we found our church that I was telling you about. We would go to a church in downtown Bloomington, Indiana. And one of the reasons that we were there for a season was in downtown, there's a lot of transient people. And so I wanted our girls, especially when they were young, to know what it was like to sit, or what it was like to go into church while people were sitting outside asking for money. That's what this guy did. And as Peter and John were walking into church, they were being asked for money. Here's the crazy part. He was going there on purpose because at the gate called Beautiful, on the way to church, it was a part of the Jewish law that you were supposed to give money to those who would ask. And so there's backstory underneath this entire understanding of church. The man lame from birth was carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day. Here is your chance to talk again. Are you ready? Everybody got the story real fast? We good? Getting ready to talk? He was put there every day to beg from those going into church. What are some of the safe assumptions that we can make from he was put there every day? I would like for you to think about the people going to church. What was it like for them? I would like for you to think about the lame man who was put there every day. I would like for you to think about the time, the location, the emotions, and the feelings, and I will call you back when it is time to stop. Ready? Go. Okay, somebody whistled, and so we're ready. All right, here it is. Someone tell me about what it's like to go to church past this man every day. Going to church? Past this man? Luke? So it might deter some people from going to church. Why? Potentially. Yeah. I love that. Maybe not super aware. Maybe don't even want to walk past this guy. Yes. That's fantastic. There may be some animosity. That's a 10-cent word. And so what animosity means is that I have to go past you every time. And in fact, you are dependent on me coming to church in order to stay alive. Man, that could be... Oh, and then there's the other side of that, which is, and I get to keep going, and you don't. So know your place. Wow, that's heavy. Let me go to Declan real fast, and I'll go backwards. Perfect. I see this guy every day. Maybe I don't even know his name, but I know he's going to be there. I know exactly what he looks like. I know exactly what he's going to ask me. It's routine. Counselor? Hand? No? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. So it could be an inconvenience. I know this guy's going to ask. I know the law says I have to put some money in my pocket, right? I love that. Anybody else? Beginning? Okay. Let's move on. What's the experience like for the lame man? The guy who can't walk? You, me. Don't worry about it. Might be a little embarrassing. A good? Oh, when it says he was put there, it might be like he didn't have a choice. Maybe they hoisted him like a sack of potatoes and said, "You're going, Steve, Ron." Somebody else in the back, yeah. He could be happy, could be pleased that someone would put him there. And then he said, because he's making bank. Okay, that's the message version. Yes? Yes, blue shirt. Hope in what? Yeah, hope in the goodness of people, right? Or the obedience to the law of people. Yeah, but either way, it rhymes with hope. Good, back in the green. Okay, maybe a boredom, maybe a sense of, man, I wish something else would happen. Big ending. I love it. Guys, listen to the nuance. He said he may feel guilty that it's his role to ask because he couldn't help himself. I love that. When I read the Bible, do you guys read it like this? Where you realize that there's individual people living lives that you and I understand? You know what it's like to walk past someone who asks you for money and you do have some in your pocket or you don't? And then do you know what it feels like to answer that person? Or to ignore that person? Or do you know what it's like to sit on the ground and have to ask? Guys, this is real stuff, but we're finding it in Scripture. This is a story, so find yourself in it. Let's go on. We've hit a lot of these. Let's keep rolling. Sorry for anyone I'm missing. Keep reading. The man gives Peter and John his attention, expecting to get something. I think we've all seen that. And Peter says, "I ain't got nothing in silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, Peter helps him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumps to his feet and begins to walk, and you all exclaim, "What the heck?" What the heck? Exactly this. So why don't you guys talk about it for a little bit? Put yourself in those sandy sandals. Where would you go first? What would you do? What would life be now like? And here's the question I'm driving towards. What would happen, not externally, that's the go, that's the do, what would happen internally? Ready? Go. I didn't whistle yet, so if we want to stop, that's good too. Let's do the easy ones. What would you go right away? Yes? I'd run inside the church, this place I've not been allowed to ever see. And you're like, whoa. Gate called Beautiful. According to some commentators, it's 75 feet tall. Jonathan, what do you say? 35 here, maybe? So let's say double this. You've sat outside a gate double this high for a long time, and now you get to go inside. I love that. Deep corner. He's going to trade in for some upgraded sandals. All right. Yes, sir. Deep corner. I love it. I'm going to go to the home of the person who's been taking me to the gate called Beautiful for years. What are you going to do there? High five them. Like kick your ankle, click your heels. I'm going to get some food. Okay. I like it. Anything first century lame, non-lame man. What are you going to go get? What are you going to go get? Ground beef, lean beef? Some way, whatever. All right, here we go. Coming over here. Where do you go? Yes. Okay, what would you do?
We were being that you
I love it. He said, here's what I would do. I'm thinking what you would do, the very first thing, is I would tell people why I'm not sitting at the gate called Beautiful anymore. And specifically, whenever Peter looked at me, he said, in the name of Jesus. I'm going to go tell people how I got well. Time out, new question. What would your internal world be like? That's what I'm curious about. Oh, someone new? These are all the same people, sorry. Two new friends. Yes, both of you. I love it. Because I'm under my own control, there's an internal happiness. Yeah. Yeah, I would have a different type of faith. Like this name of Jesus would mean something. I love it. Big ending. That's a good internal world. She said, I would probably be curious. Who is this Jesus that just healed me? That's what I wanted to talk about. You might remember this slide from last night. I have added and highlighted a few new pieces. This is the exact same slide with this addition. Living, rooted, and built up, it begins internally. Now, you didn't see that twist coming, but when we put this slide up last night, we looked at Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and we said, these are the things that the people did. They began to devote themselves to truth. Look at where devotion begins. It's your choice. Look at where going deep and asking questions to God and others. That is an internal beginning place. They began to break bread. That was the external. And then they began to pray. Guys, I have a new question for you. And it sounds like this. In Acts chapter 2, at the beginning, we said that there was the sound like violent wind. And we had a great conversation about, is that a tornado? Is that the shattering of glass? Is that the calm before the storm? But all of a sudden, we've got this new sound that just happened, and something happened for Peter to reach down and grab this lame man's arm. It was the name of Jesus. I need you to see this. The man went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping, praising God. Who said they went into church first? That was the very first thing he did. Yes, wonderful. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, who said he would give credit to Jesus first? I like that one. They recognized him as the same man. The people in church knew exactly who this was, and they knew that he used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. There it is again. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Here is the aha for the morning. The gate called Beautiful was this place where this person was and used to be. And guys, here's my hope and my prayer for us. What I've been praying for the last 6 months as I've been in thinking about the book of Acts and how rooted and built up. I'm teaching this for my college kids. And so you guys are getting to do a dry run with me for what I'm going to be teaching for college students. When I see these words rooted and built up, when I watch these stories unfold in Acts, I know that there is something internally at work that changes the external of who I am and how I live. Because whenever Peter reached down, he said, I'm not going to give you anything. I'm not going to give you the tangible. I'm not going to hand you a Bible and say you're healed. I'm going to give you the power, the violent wind of the name of Jesus. It is power. And from there, you're new. And the man jumps up. And the man runs in to the place of community, the place called church. And from there, all the people recognize him from the exterior, but he has a whole new life from the interior. Does this make sense? Here's what you're going to get to do in your small groups. You're going to read this for yourself and ask some of those what the heck questions. But here is the action step from your small group. The action step is this. When you sit still and listen to God, almost like you couldn't walk. Almost like you couldn't walk, what would you be listening for? It's one of your questions. It's your action step for today. When we come back tonight, we're going to see immediately what happens next, because this man's life was changed in a moment. But this is the moment in our story where Peter and John, everything changes for them too, because in Acts chapter 4, there are consequences for telling this name of Jesus. And that's where we're going tonight. Yeah? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for these small group times. I pray that in safety, we can ask questions. And also, God, in humility, we can listen. I pray for the hearts and the voices of the leaders and the students to really meet one another and have some conversation. But even deeper, God, I pray for the ears and the other people around the circle, that they are listening to the stillness, that they are listening to the movement of your Spirit. And so, God, we'll leave the result to you, and we'll go through today and come back again. Amen.